This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's summertime in Texas.
Well, now that's true. We've all of a sudden got the hot switch got turned on, and here we go. Strap into like December or January.
That's right. And, you know, it's 90 degrees out, and that's just cool. You know, I mean, 90. It'll soon be 100, you know,
Yeah. Before
we even know it.
Yeah, we'll take that 90. Well, it may seem hot on the front end, but compared to like 150 outside, this is going to be a nice, cool range.
Well, I guess we'll stay at 90 as long as we can before it really gets hot.
Yeah.
But they also say it's going to help that virus. I don't know. I hope so.
That's right. They say the warm weather kind of kills things off, don't they?
That's right. They say the intense heat will do something to it, and I hope that's right.
So should we all hope for a long, really, really, really hot summer?
I think so. Even though it'll be uncomfortable, I think maybe we should protect ourselves and really want some heat.
It sounds odd, but it's so true. Truer words were never spoken.
That's right. It's a strange new world out there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, we will tell 50 years from now, people will be talking about this year and about what all happened.
If the world is still here in 50 years.
It may not be. That may be just a figment of my imagination.
Yeah.
It might be a quick 50 years.
You were being optimistic is what that is.
I was being optimistic, and that's probably not true at all. I
mean, probably not.
Yeah, 50 years, that is way out there. But as long as they're here, I believe they'll put it in the history books. It'll be talked about. It'll be like when we hear the old people talk about things that happened, you know, 40s and 50s, you know, things way, way back, even the early 1900s. This will definitely be a topic of conversation.
Yeah, I remember back when they said things like, oh, man, entire populations were wiped out. Now, we're talking about cowboy time, so there was a population of like 20. It wasn't like big, you know, large city populations like now, but they would say things like, oh, man, I remember in the early 1900s, you know, the market crashed, and then, you know, the same year that, you know, we had the big famine, and then there was all these different things hit. This is going to be probably one of those years, and golly, we're only in June, so we're still on the front end of the year.
Well, remember, they had the boll weevil deal happen. That wiped them all out.
That's true.
Then in Oklahoma, they had all the Dust Bowl. That wiped out a whole state.
Yeah.
They all moved to California. Boy, that was a mistake. You know?
Right?
Yes. I mean, so all this stuff keeps happening, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, but this is the big one. This is the big one.
Yeah.
To me. I don't know what to say.
Between the original coronavirus issue, and then now in some cases in some cities we see all the riots and the looting and things like that. I'm wondering if there are some small businesses that aren't going to come back at all. Maybe they were kind of teetering on things, you know, last week or the week before, and now after maybe things that have happened in the last several days. Who knows? Maybe that's enough to push them over, and some of these places won't come back.
Well, and I have heard of several restaurants. A lot of restaurants are suffering because they've been closed for 2 months, and now they can only have 20 or 25% in there. So they're suffering really bad, and some of them will not reopen. I've I've been reading about, some of them said, no, you know, for 25%, we cannot make a living. We might as well just close the doors. And Hofbräu, a famous German steakhouse, that one is closing in Fort Worth. They have others that are going to open, but that one, the old one that's famous over there, it's not going to reopen.
Wow.
So I think the restaurants have been hit the hardest, but there's a lot of other businesses that have been hit that are just now trying to open. And like you say, a lot of people are not going to open.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah, and then we see these gatherings in places where there's large, like thousands of people gathering. And a lot of people that we see on TV are wearing masks, but there's a lot in these groups that aren't. And I wonder what effect that's going to have when so many people are not wearing masks in large groups. It's like the opposite of what we should be doing in some cases.
I think they're going to infect thousands of people that, they're all right in each other's face, and they have no mask. Mm. And, you know, some of them have got the virus.
Yeah.
And so I think that it will spread very badly in some of these places. I really think it will. I think it's going to defeat what we've been trying to do. And, of course, I think it's such a shame that protesters and rioters are breaking into businesses. These people have worked hard for their companies. You know, they're successful. And then overnight, they're put out of business because looters and rioters want to take everything they've got. They want to steal.
That's true.
I can't imagine. A peaceful protest is one thing, but rioting and looting is another story.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a shame that they're doing that to people. And what I don't understand, here in Texas, we don't even know these people. We didn't do anything to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're minding our own business.
Yeah.
And they've come to town, and, they were down there on the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge the other night. Traffic couldn't even go that way. You couldn't even drive down the freeway. There was 250 people out on the bridge.
Yeah, it was completely shut down for safety.
Yeah, I mean, it's just shutting down commerce completely. And I don't understand it for the life of me.
Well, now that we've painted such a rosy picture.
You're right. I mean, we have really gave everybody a great morning for Saturday morning. I mean, here we're talking about doom and gloom. Oh, my gosh.
Get up. You got something to look forward to. We're not sure what.
Oh, my gosh.
So
I thought about how it might sound, you know. But that's just a little part of the day. The rest of it is going to be great.
Yeah. Well, what good is happening in your world? How are the kids? How are the llamas? How is everything going?
Everything's going good. The llamas are happy. They had their hair cut. They're playing, having a good time. The little children are playing and having a great time. And me, I've been just, taking it one day at a time.
That's all we can do. You've been to the beauty
show.
That's about
all I can do right now. Thank goodness our business is good. We've been blessed. We are blessed. Our business has went right on. Thank goodness we're in the type of business that wasn't shut down, that, we kept going. Our clients are still investing. They're still putting money with us. And we have a new client from California.
Do you really?
We have a new client that called, and we've set him up an account. He does a lot of business in Midland, Odessa, but he doesn't actually live here. He actually lives in California, but he travels here in his business all the time. So he knows a lot of people here, and one of our clients recommended us. And so he called, and we got him set up. And then he listened to some of our shows.
Mm.
And he just happened to find them and listen to them. And he said that he enjoyed them, and now he's going to have his wife listen, where she'll really understand the investment.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He couldn't explain it as good as he thought I could.
that's probably true.
Yes, I mean, he thought he needed a little help there.
Yeah, and that's what this is all about. This is Growing Your Money. This is Your Money with Fay Bagbee, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So how does the investment work? You know, because people say, well, golly, Faye, you know, you'll look around and everybody's losing money. Businesses are closing. You just talked about it, 5 minutes ago. And so all these places financially are not doing as well as they could be doing or maybe should be doing. And so how is it possible that some kind of magic investment is making people money when everybody else is losing? What do you say to that?
Well, because we invest in life insurance policies. We buy life insurance policies. I can't stress that too much. That's all we buy. We buy life insurance policies on people that have stage 4 cancer, and it works. Because it's not like any other investment. It doesn't go down. If the market's down, it doesn't affect this. If you're having riots, that doesn't affect it. Pestilence, that doesn't affect it. So it's something that's not affected by the market in any way, shape, or form. So life insurance companies, when you take out a life insurance policy, they pay the face amount. They don't ever say, well, okay, we're going to cut that in half or we're going to cut a third off. When we send in a claim, they send a check for the full amount.
And
so that's what makes it a terrific investment, because you're only investing in life insurance companies and you're not investing like in the market. You're never in the market with this. So it's a great investment.
So when you say things like, you know, like the value never goes down, and it's all about life insurance policies and buying them, and they hold their value, and you know, these insurance companies are there to pay out the money. I guess all that combined there is really the cornerstone of the investment and how it works. It just gets bigger from there. Each layer of why this is such a good investment builds on that right there alone. And so I guess we'll start with the actual source of money. We'll start there, and we'll kind of, you know, expand out a little bit, but the cornerstone is that the money is there, and so when the policy matures, these companies have the money and people don't have to worry about it. And you've talked about reserves that these life insurance companies have to have. It's really astronomical. I mean, they've got it on hand all the time.
That's right. They have to keep a certain amount in cash. And as I said, years ago, they couldn't even own their own building. And finally, you can own your own building, but you have to have it in a holding company. So life insurance companies put up a lot of money on every policy. So, you know, like the life insurance companies we deal with, you know, they're worth billions and billions. They're not some little podunk companies, I always say, you know, with $1 million or $5 million. They have billions with a B, billions.
Wow.
And billions. One of them has $59 billion that we do business with, and the others are even wealthier than that. And that's why we always try to do business with an A-rated company, because we know they can pay their claims. They're not going to hesitate. Like all these claims that we've been having due lately, we've just been getting check after check in the last week. We've gotten $2.5 million in the last week.
Oh, wow.
Of claims for people. And, you know, they always send a check. There's never a problem. And, you know, it's just old hat with them. They pay their claims, they pay them promptly, and it's just never a problem. That's why I like doing what we do, is we're assured that we'll always get our principal and our interest back. It's not like if you're in the stock market, you don't know if you'll get your principal back, much less the interest. You don't know. If you've got a CD, you got $2.64 this week, by the way.
Wow. Great.
Yes. Yeah, on one of my accounts, they paid me $2.64.
Look at you go.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's such a great amount of money.
Golly, so, you'll be ready to retire next month.
That's right. I'll be ready to retire any day. So, you know, banks are not paying any money anymore, mm-hmm. and bonds are not paying anything. So the only way I can see where you can make good money, solid money, is to do a life settlement or an annuity. You can even do an annuity and get more than you can anywhere else. So if you buy a life settlement, the way it works is we pay 1% a month. So if you take out a policy and they give the guy 24 months to live, we're going to say, okay, that's a 24-month contract. We're going to pay you 24% at the end of the contract. So you know in advance you're going to get the 24% profit whenever it comes due. If it comes in early, it's still 24. If it's on time, it's 24. If it's late, you're going to get 24 less whatever premium you had to pay.
So what
but
is
you
that?
Always get your principal and you always get your interest.
Where does that 24 determination come from? Or whatever it is, 18, 30, whatever.
Well, we figured out a formula as to what we could pay people. And the formula says you can afford to pay 1% a month.
Okay.
And it will work.
And that's including, you know, all the I guess, to really simplify it, the insies and the outsies combined, you still have that nice profit margin at 1% a month. Expenses or anything that people may have to pay out, premiums, whatever the case may be, all that combined and 1% is the magic sweet spot.
That's right. It works. And there's been times we've even paid a little bit more than that. We had one not long ago that paid a lot more than that. And we were very excited about it. It hadn't matured yet. But when it does, they've got like 42% coming back.
Wow.
Yeah, we had that one deal that was 42% profit. And people jumped on that thing. I mean, it went very, very fast.
Yeah, I bet it did.
And then the other day, we had this policy, $1 million policy. And some people hesitated. In fact, a couple of people said, I'm not going to invest in that. And I sent him a little note. I said, did you know that I'm going to be in that post? Oh, well, then put me in, Faye. If you're in it, I want it.
You don't do that very often. You don't get involved.
I don't
involved.
Do it very often. But I did. And I said, well, my gosh, if they're going to hesitate, I'll get you to jump in there.
Well, yeah.
So I jumped in that policy. And when I can, I like to be in the policies with them because it just makes a little extra money. And I can't – usually, if I want in – by the time we get through filling it, there's not even room for my investment. So I'll back off and let everybody else have it. But in this one, I went forward and said, I'm going in it. Will you come and join me? Well, of course, you know, everybody did. And we filled it very quickly and ran out of funds because everybody wanted in it. So some people didn't even get in it. So that was a good deal. And it's a fairly short one. And, you know, it's amazing. In the last month, we've had more short-term policies than we've ever had. We bid on a policy this week that is a six-month policy.
Whoa, six
Can
months.
Can you imagine? Yes, it's really short.
Wow.
And I don't know if we'll get it, but it's a great policy, and we bid it right away when we got it. And we bid several, a 13-month and 18-month ones lately. And it's just amazing how many short-term policies have come our way. You know, usually they're 24, 30 months. I love 30 months because when those come in early, you know, you've made a little extra that year.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that a lot. So anyway, you know, the 24, 30, it doesn't matter. If it's 24 months, you get paid 24%. If it's 30 months, you make 30%. And, you know, I like all of them because they work. And people can go online. They can look at what people have been making, and I like that. You know, we always post that on our website where they can see it.
We should mention that, by the way. Your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. There's also, you know, aside from people seeing money that people have actually been making, there's also testimonials on there. It kind of talks a little bit about the program from an investor's point of view, right?
Yes, it does. And another thing that's at the end of the year, and I lost the email. I was going to frame it or something. we were selected as financial company of the year in Addison.
Really?
Yeah. The little town of Addison where our home office is. And we were selected as financial company of the year.
Well, look at you go. You lost
it?
You don't have it anymore?
I lost the email.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I read it, and then I was going to have somebody, you know, download it and frame it, and we couldn't find it. I go, I don't know what I did.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, you know, that's typical of me, something like that happening, you know.
Slightly ironic.
And, yeah, I had forgotten about it. And, you know, that happened a couple of months ago, and I was going to frame it, as I said, because I was pretty proud that they selected us. Because, you know, we've been there a long time, and that's the first time anybody, you know, selected our company for that. And I really appreciate it. But anyway, I lost it. So that's just the way it is.
Well, that's a big deal. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was kind of a big deal.
Oh.
Yeah, out of all the financial companies in Addison, Texas, and there is a lot of them.
Oh, I'm sure there's tons. Golly, you know, that whole area, it's just full of big companies like that. So, wow,
that's
good
right,
for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But anyway, when people invest with us, it's different than the stock market investing. It doesn't go up and down every day, and that's what I like. It's a steady investment. You're not going to get rich overnight. Nobody's ever going to tell you that, because it's a steady growth, you know, year after year. And everybody that has it, the ones that invest regularly, they've made a lot of money, because I look at their portfolios all the time, and I know how much they've made. The people that invest occasionally don't make that kind of money, because they're in and out. They get in, then they get back out, and they leave it in cash a while, then they come back in. The others keep theirs fully invested at all times. And so their interest has really accumulated, and when they do get ready to need it, it's there. And that's the way it ought to be. That's what the investment is for. It's to help people retire healthy, wealthy, and early.
So
instead of having to work all their life.
Why do people kind of get a little bit sporadic with investments? Why not always be in several policies at the same time?
I think you have different kinds of investors. You have the ones that are knowledgeable, and they do a lot better. The ones that have not been around, if I should say it that way, they don't seem to grasp exactly how you do it. And that makes a big difference, because the ones that have been with us a long time, like back in 13, they've been there so long, they just automatically, they call, renew me, put me in another policy. If they don't hear from us, they're calling, say, get me in a policy, get me in two policies, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they just do it on a regular basis. Then you've got some that have smaller amounts of money. And they don't seem to grasp that if they don't invest all the time, they don't make as much. If it's sitting in cash, you're not making a profit, let's put it that way. But if you're in a policy, you're making a profit all the time.
So the way
you sit there and leave it in cash, you're not making anything.
If it's just sitting there, then if you're not, what do we say? If you're not making money, you're losing money, right?
That's exactly right. And money that's sitting still isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And so the best way to do it is always keep your money working for you. And that's what we do. We all keep our money working in policies all the time, because the rate of return is great. I mean, people, if they want a great return, you know, I think 18%, 24%, you know, is a great return, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll work for you all the time if you just keep doing it. And most of our people do. We have over $100 million invested.
That's amazing.
That is a lot of money, folks.
So for somebody who isn't doing this and they're thinking about it, we say you've really got to be in a number of policies to make this really maximize the investments and really, you know, grow your money at a much faster pace. How much are we talking about? How many policies and how many dollars should somebody bring to the table on average to have a really, really good aggressive return?
Well, I know that we have a lot of people who've got 300,000 and above. I've got very few people that have got less than that. Most people have got 300 to 500 or a million with us. I've got some people have got 2 million. I don't know how many people have got 2 million, but we have quite a few that have $2 million at this time with us. And the big investors keep their money moving all the time. They're always in policies. They're always adding to their portfolio. And one of them told me the other day, he said, I need to have 30 policies. I said, why?
Wow.
He said, because I picked that number. That's his number.
Really? Just at random?
Yeah. And he's been with us a lot of years. He's been in a lot of policies. He knows how they work. And he has one come due, seems like, every 2 or 3 months. I don't know how many he's had this year, but I know of 2 or 3 already this year that he's had. And so, he'll call me. We'll have a long conversation. He'll say, I haven't had a policy mature lately. And I swear the next 2 or 3 weeks he'll have one or two come due again.
So he's putting
and
it out there.
It just works that way. And the policies are great policies. You know, we don't buy anything if they're not. And, you know, they're changing the wording right now on a lot of policies, the way it works. Because I pick up the phone and I call 21st Services. When they give us a policy and people don't seem to understand, I'll call them and say, clarify this for me. Clarify the wording. I'm not sure about what you're telling me.
What are they changing the wording?
They're changing the way they're saying things. And I called them the other day on this one policy, and I said, explain this to me. When you say that it's not in remission, but it's not showing up, they said, we're saying it took a pause. It may be a 2-week pause. The cancer's still there. We're not saying the cancer's went away. I said, well, that's important. I said, I didn't think it had, or the guy wouldn't be selling his policy. And so they clarified that. The other word they clarified for me the other day, when it said no progression, I said, well, I've always thought if it's no progression, that the cancer wasn't moving. No. They said, that's not what that means. They mean the cancer is as bad as it was, but it's not getting worse. It's in the same place. In other words, the cancer is right there where it was, but it's not growing faster. It's just growing. So lots of times they need to explain this to us.
Huh. So they cannot fool you. You're seeing through all these things because you've done this long enough. You know what you're looking at. You know what these things mean.
That's right. So if we're ever in doubt about anything, we call and get clarification because we're buying this with other people's money. Remember that. It's our client's money. We have to take care of it. We have to be careful, and we have to buy the best policies that we can.
So what makes a best policy?
The best one is a pancreatic cancer. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They love pancreatic cancer because they all know if it's inoperable, it's a 9-month deal or less.
Wow, that's fast.
Even if they operate on it, it's 2 years. They love it. We've done lots and lots of pancreatic, and when anybody finds out it's pancreatic cancer, they want in it. I've got some that specify, get me in a pancreatic policy. The others that we have a lot of is colon cancer and lung cancer. Seems like there's a lot of those. I went down the list the other day of all the ones that have come due. And then we've had a lot of, the guy that had the tongue cancer. He had tongue cancer, and then it went to his brain. And they've operated on his brain twice.
Whoa.
And they said, he's not going to survive because, first of all, the tongue cancer is so serious. And then it metastasized in the brain, and they've operated on it twice. So it should be a fairly short policy. I'm thinking that the guy won't last a year.
Wow.
With all that. So that's all the things we look at. We look at how many times they've operated, if they have operated, can they operate, or are they on all this alternative medicine? You know, alternative medicine is just not great, in my opinion. I'm not for it at all because it's growing while you're over there doing, orange peel or whatever it is you're doing in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and we read about it, and they go back then to a cancer doctor and say, I need help. And they say, I'm sorry, it's spread so much now, we can keep you comfortable and all this, but we're not going to make you survive.
By then it's gotten, too much time has gone by and it's advanced.
That's right.
Too far.
They've wasted 6 months that they could have been taking radiation and chemo together.
Wow.
They could be doing, and sometimes when it's really bad, they'll do both, trying to save them.
Yeah.
And they say also during this pandemic we've got, the cancer people are not getting the treatment they ought to get. And that's why 21st Service said we're going to have 12 times as many maturities, they think, as we've ever had. And we don't know that yet. We won't know a little bit later when we get the numbers as to how many have matured for the year. Because they keep a record of all this. All these big companies do that we do business with. They can tell you how many deaths occur every year on any type of cancer, they can tell you what the statistics show is going to happen in the future.
So it sounds like, based on what you were saying earlier, it sounds like you've already started to see some of the signs of more policies maybe coming in early, things like that, ones that you're looking at bidding on and ones that are starting to pay off.
And we're seeing a lot more policies than we usually get. I mean, I'm getting a lot every day to look at.
So this is a good time.
Yeah, and we're bidding them every day. We're bidding against some big companies, but sometimes we get the bid in spite of it, and then sometimes we don't. But we are bidding on a lot of them. We're closing on a lot of them. This next week we'll be closing on four policies.
Wow, that's a lot.
Four. And we'll be filling those up. They're great policies. Any of the four will be great. There's not one of them that I wouldn't go in. So they'll be great. We'll get people invested again because they all want to get that money invested that just came in. You know, as I said, we just had $2.5 million this week come in, and we've got another $2.5 million to come that should be in shortly. Sure. But a lot, as I said, a lot of money came in this week, and it's already in people's accounts.
It's amazing. And
you know, it's usually the bank usually gives them their money within 3 days.
Wow, that's fast. That's fast. So people aren't sitting around, you know, for weeks on end, you know, waiting, saying, "Hey, when am I going to get paid?" It's quick. It's very fast.
And they're always anxious. I can tell you this. I'm always getting emails when we're down to the wire, the money's expected. They'll go, "Is it in my account yet?" You know, and we'll say, "It'll be in Friday or Monday." We always tell them what day we think the bank will release funds.
Yeah.
But our banks do not keep the money a long time. I know people tell me they make a deposit and they'll say, "You can't have this money for a week or 10 days." That's ridiculous. The money's available in 3 days.
And then the goal is to not take that money and go buy a bunch of cars or boats or anything like that. The goal is to turn around, reinvest that, and that's how the whole big picture works as far as retirement and growing people's wealth. It's getting in a number of policies.
That's exactly right. That's the way it works. And our people, they reinvest every time. We're always, you know, let's reinvest, let's make more money, let's get ready to retire. And then we've got some that did retire. I've got another guy that's retiring this month, taking early retirement, and they're setting it up with us now as to how much cash they'll need, how much to keep in their account, and how it's going to work. So it's for retirement and beyond. You know, they can do this another 10, 20 years after they retire. We just have to know the parameters and what they expect, how much money they're going to take every year. And as I said, one of them said the other day he's only going to take 4%.
Really?
Well, 4% is great. If you're not taking but 4%, your money ought to last forever.
Yeah, that just means that you got more invested and you're growing it.
That's exactly right. And then we have people that are taking, you know, 10%. And, you know, people take different amounts. I think the first 2-3 years, sometimes they take a lot because they haven't had that opportunity. And then they get wise and say, "You know, this has got to last a long time. I don't really need that much. I'm going to take a little bit less." Yeah. Instead of $90,000 a year, they're taking $60,000. And then I've got people that say, "Faye, I want $250,000 a year." Well, those people, we're working hard on their portfolios because it's going to take a lot of money for them.
With conditions the way they are people taking less because they're going less? Like they're doing less traveling, they're doing, you know, less of the things that maybe they would have wanted to spend early retirement money on. Maybe they're just like staying home and saying, instead of going around the world because we can't anyway, let's invest. Is that a trend?
I think that's it. Right now, people are not going to be traveling. This is going to be a year they will be staying home unless they go out to their ranches. And we have lots of people that have ranches way out in the country. Or in New Mexico. We have somebody that has one in New Mexico. He's probably listening this morning. He goes out and stays, you know, a couple of weeks at a time on his ranch. But all these men, I think because they've worked all their life, they have to keep busy, they're active, and they want something to do. That's why they buy the ranches, if they're ranch people. Now, a lot of people, you know, retire on a golf course or a lake. But we have a lot of people that retire on ranches or at least buy a ranch. They live in town and go out to their ranches. And they have to stay active. They have to stay busy. And their wives want them out of the house.
I'm sure. It's probably in more like that one should be first, and then people need to be busy.
I should have said that first, because the wives do not want them underfoot telling them how to do things.
All right.
It's like that lady last week we talked about that was a shopaholic, you know. And this has slowed her down. So that's the same way with the men. You know, they've been slowed down by all this, but they're still going. They're getting out in their pickups, and they're going. If it's not the coffee shop, it's to the ranch or the farm.
Yeah, we're still going someplace. Maybe not the same place.
They're going someplace. They're not sitting home, let me tell you.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
We'll also point out your website is American Financial Midland. People can get a bunch of information there as well. And so every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
All right. Well, tell me about your belief in ghosts.
Well, I had one that I thought lived in an apartment once, because I kept sawing it walk back and forth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, everybody, they like to be scared. They like to see scary things. Yeah. You know, as kids, you know, everybody would try to get you to go to some old house and go through it because, you know, there's stories is there's ghosts in it and that they want to scare you. And Halloween, you know, people want to be scared.
Yeah.
They want to be scared of the unknown. Well, in Seguin, Texas, they have the Magnolia Hotel that's haunted.
Really?
That has ghosts. They swear they have 13 ghosts.
Really?
That live there. Oh, yeah. They say they have 13 ghosts that live there. Now, this old hotel is from the 1800s. A Texas Ranger, James Campbell, built a log cabin there in 1840. Then in 1847, Jack Coffee Hayes married the owner's daughter. Well, and they built the hotel then in 1853. So it's been there a long, long time. Well, people have taken tours of it, and they told them, they said, now we want to tell you to start with, there's 13 ghosts that live here. I mean, you know, so first they went into the kitchen. They said the owner from the 1850s and her children are still there.
Really?
Yeah. And then they said upstairs there's one room that this person was murdered in that room.
Whoa.
Okay. And they said it's real heavy when you walk in. It's very overwhelming. And they said they had to get out of that room. And then there's a room where a madam used to live. And they went in that room, and the scent came in. And they said Rosebud's her name, and she's excited that a gentleman is visiting. She was a madam here for many years.
Wow.
And so the guy said, you know, I smelt the rose scent, and I thought they were putting the scent in there. And they went in this room that was real dark. And they told him, they said, remember, ghosts cannot hurt you. You may feel them touch you, and you may get scared. But said, a ghost won't hurt you. And the guy said, I was a little bit scared. I didn't want to be touched by a ghost.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, and they led him into the darkness and gave him a flashlight and illuminated the walls, and they could see broken tiles and crumbling wallboard. And they said, even in daylight, this would be super creepy.
It sounds like it.
And the guy said afterwards, he said, I've got no explanation for any of it. He said, I don't know if they did this or if I really was making a rendezvous with a ghost that said I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Wow.
So, yeah. So there's supposed to be 13 ghosts that live in that house.
Really? And now, where is this? What is it called?
In Seguin, Texas.
I'm writing
right
this
down
time.
Here at Seguin in the Hill Country. So this would be a great place to take your family. And if you really want to get them scared, take them through this haunted ghost hotel.
Ghost hotel. Great place ghost for the whole family.
Oh, yeah, great place. You'll be so scared you'll be running out of that place. So, you know, if a grown man was scared and couldn't wait to get himself out of there, you can imagine. If you had teenagers or something with you, they would be, you know, dying to get out of that place.
Have you been there before? Have you stayed?
I have not been there. I didn't even know about it till 2 weeks ago.
Really?
And yeah, and when I found out about it, I've got to tell everybody about this place.
Wow.
And I've never encountered a ghost. I know I probably wouldn't ever walk and talk again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it was scary so bad. But, you know, a lot of people have talked about ghosts all their lives, and I've never had anybody say that there was all these ghosts living at one place.
Yeah. Wow.
And
13.
I don't know if it's fake. I don't know if it's real. I have no idea. But I just thought this would be a fun thing for people to do, to go through this haunted ghost house, this old hotel. And they said that the original owner, that the wife and children, everybody, that they're part of the ghost makeup. They're right there in that old hotel.
Wow. Neat. I feel like we're going to have to take a road trip here.
I know. I think it'd be a great road trip, but I don't know if a person would get a little bit scared in there, or, you know, if you just matter of fact could go through it. I'm curious about that.
Yeah. And then you wonder if, you know, if maybe, you know, the reason sometimes people get so nervous and they think, ooh, this is really heavy and this is really tense, is because they've been told ahead of time, you know, hey, you're going to feel heavy and tense. And so it might be just the power of suggestion that makes them think, ooh, this is haunted.
Well, in that one room, they could smell Mr. Campbell's cigars, his burning cigars. And they could hear his boots walking across the wood floor.
Really?
And almost on cue, the rocking chair in the corner started going back and forth.
You reckon they set that up?
I don't know. I mean, I'm curious. I'm really curious. We should go through it and just see, you know, if we believe it, or, you know, if we can tell if they set us up.
I think that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. And they said the people, the owners, are so nice and warm, and you think, oh yeah, this is just, you know, fine. But then, you know, then you have to go through all these dark rooms and all these smells and the perfume from the madam. I love that part. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, a rose scent. You know. But anyway, I thought it was very interesting because I've never known of a, you know, somebody that had a ghost hotel.
That is interesting. And they actually, they tell people, hey, this is a ghost hotel. Come stay here. People don't just go and happen to, you know, find weird stuff.
No, I don't think you can stay there. I think you can only visit it.
You can't even stay. Oh, no, they should open it.
I don't think so. I mean, I may be wrong, but I don't think so.
Wow.
I think you just get to go and visit it. And go through all the scary rooms. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you're taking a tour. You're just taking a tour through the hotel. No, you couldn't stay there.
Oh, Lord.
It's too spooky for that. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that is
13
true.
Ghosts? Would you want to stay there?
You think they picked 13 because it's unlucky?
Probably. But I loved it because each room had a story about somebody who had lived there. Yeah. That's the interesting part. The person that was murdered up there is in that one room, and that's enough to just send you off the edge right there.
Yeah.
And then the former owners and their children, the ghost of them, are up there. And then you have the madam, and it smells like roses in her room. And they said, oh, they're very friendly. They may bump against you. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, if a ghost bumped against me, I would tear a new wall and make a new door right there. Oh, my gosh. So it's interesting whether it's real or whether they set this up.
I think if one of them was to reach out and bump into me, I'd be a little bit nervous with that.
I'd be more than nervous. I'd probably have a nervous breakdown right there. I mean, you know. But I thought it was the most interesting story of the week. You know, a hotel that has ghosts. And to be specific, 13 of them.
Yeah.
It's a busy place if there's 13 ghosts.
It's a busy place. What is the name of this?
Magnolia Hotel in Seguin, Texas.
Magnolia Hotel. All right.
Yes. And I think this would be a great place. You go first. And if the living daylights aren't scared out of you, then I'll go.
I see how you work.
Yeah, I want to be first.
Look at you go. You go first. Oh, that's great. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330.
Well played, by the way.
Yes.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can get all kinds of information. You were saying that you have money that people have made so they can see real investments. They can see testimonials, learn a little bit about the program and how it works a little bit more from other investors' perspectives. And the thing that makes it so great is because, you know, we're talking about these cancer policies of people who need to sell their policy because treatments are very, very expensive. But it's not just any kind of cancer. I mean, I know you were talking about, you know, you're looking for things, you know, when you get these reports of, you know, is it gone? Is there no sign of it? Is there no progression? You were talking about things like that. It's also worth noting, and it's kind of a big deal, but you're only talking about stage four cancer policies. And why? Why not one, two, or three?
Well, you're not going to die right away. If you've still got one or two, there's hope for you. If they've caught it early, they're going to try to save you. But if it's down to four, you know, there's not much hope. And, you know, we read the statistics all the time on how long are you going to live with stage four? What can they do for you if it's stage four? And we know that, you know, we've had $8 million mature since January. So we know that the people that we buy these policies on are dying. It's a shame, but that's the way it works. And it's just part of life. They're not going to survive. Some of them are going to go the distance. They're going to go the 24 months. Some of them are not going to go but 9 months, you know. And the ones that have had brain cancer that cannot be operated on, you know, those policies have already matured and we're fixing to get paid on them. And that's part of it is, you know, when we buy these, we know that they're short term. You know, a lot of people will do old people, and they'll do 5 to 7 years. Well, you know, if they do, they're taking a heck of a risk because those people are not sick. They're going to outlive us all. But if you've got melanoma, you know, we've had a lot of melanomas that have killed people. Used to, you didn't think that melanoma was that serious. But now when it spreads, you know, we had a gentleman, we bought his policy last year. He's already passed away. And he had melanoma on his legs.
Really?
And yeah. And they were operating on his knee, everywhere else. But it did kill him. And we at the time thought, you know, it's a good policy, but it was a lot better than even we thought. But, you know, we do a lot of colon cancer. Some of them have come in, you know, early. And, of course, if it's pancreatic cancer, we know it's coming in early. Some of the others don't come in early. Sometimes, you know, they're going to be on time, and then we're going to have some that, despite the doctors, you know, they come in late. But we do a lot of colon cancer. We do a lot of lung cancer. And then, of course, you know, we do all the breast cancer, and we've had an awful lot of early termination on breast cancer. We've only had, so far, we've had 3 breast cancers go over. And I had one client said, well, I don't really like breast cancer policy. I said, why? He said, oh, I think they go too long. So I went back and looked up the statistics on all of our policies, what breast cancer was doing, and sent him some information and said, look, the breast cancer ones are not coming in late. We've only had 3 late. The others have come in early. And so, you know, we're trying to improve at all times on the length of time and on the best policies to buy. So we're working on it all the time. And you know, the companies that we do business with, like 21st Services, they've been in business, you know, 28 years. So they know it. Fasano's been in business, I think, 15 years. Most of these companies, they really know their business when it comes to the life expectancy. And they give us all this information. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of our life expectancies. Sometimes they're 2 to 3 pages long. They document when it started, every time they've been in the hospital, what drugs they're taking, if it's affected other parts of their body, if it's affected their blood pressure, their diabetes, you know, everything. So we know as much as we can about that person.
You know, you said that 1, 2, and 3 are one thing, and then you say 4 is different, and it is such a well-informed investment. So what changes? I mean, because, you know, people with stage 1, 2, or 3 don't necessarily go out and sell their policy. So what changes when somebody's diagnosed with 4? What's the process? How do you end up with
that? Because the doctor tells them you've got a short time. They tell them right then, you've got 24 months, we believe, or we think you're going to make it 18 months. And they're telling them how short their life is. And that's why they're selling the policy, is they're going to do everything they can. They're going to get the best treatment. They're going to spend every dime they can on the best. People, when they get cancer, they don't go to some little bitty hospital. They try to go to big, big hospitals for treatment. And that's the best thing they can do. You don't want to go to a local hospital that's treated 2 or 3 cancer patients. You want to go to one that's treated hundreds and what their success rate was, you know, on stage 1 or stage 2. But when it gets down to stage 4, it's deadly serious. And a lot of them may have already spent their money, and they're going to take this money to live on until they do pass away. And lots of times, people will have more than one policy. We've got a lot of people. We've bought one policy, then they came back to us and said, I have another policy, and I really need to sell it. And we'll go ahead and buy that second one because we have faith in what's going to happen to them because we own the first one. Mm-hmm. So that happens a lot of the time. And when we've read these LAs, when we know what we think is going to happen to them, you know, then we want to buy that policy and get our clients in it as quickly as possible.
So when it comes down to it, people diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, it's a very expensive treatment, and the fastest way to get a big lump sum of money to pay for those treatments is by selling their policy, and that's how it ends up being a policy that you bid on. So how does that turn into an investment? Say I'm going to sell my policy, and I end up selling it to you. What happens? You take ownership of that policy, right? Or how does
it
work?
That's right. We take ownership of that policy. Through our bank. Our bank acts as trustee on the policy. We don't act as trustee on our own policies. The bank is trustee. They're in charge of that policy when we buy it and we change the ownership over. We have it changed over to the bank as trustee. And then they represent us. They represent the clients. And they're the ones that make sure the premiums are paid because we escrow those premiums. They're the ones that get the certified death certificate for us. And then the life insurance company pays the bank, and then they put it in everybody's account. That's what makes it a safe investment. And I was going to say also, sometimes these people, when they're wanting to sell their policy, cut it too short. One of the people that we had bid on has passed away. I mean, it was that short. I mean, they thought they had, you know, time to sell their policy. They were going to get this money. And in the end, their heirs got it because they passed away a couple of weeks ago after we had bid the policy. We thought, you know, we had plenty of time that they were going to live a while, and they didn't. They've already passed away.
They cut it
and
way too close.
Happen. Yeah, they cut it too short.
Wow.
And, you know, most of them have 6 months to 2 years when we buy their policy. And some of them have passed away within a month. And if they do, usually it's recalled and the heirs get the money.
You mentioned premiums a couple minutes ago. Who pays the premiums on the policies to keep them going?
Okay, when we set up the escrow with our bank, we escrow enough money to cover the premiums for the entire time. If it's 24 months, we're going to put 24 plus maybe 12. So we'll put an extra 12 months of premium in there. So this should take care of the policy until they pass away. So then the bank goes into that escrow account, and every month or every quarter they pay the premiums out of escrow. So you don't have to worry about it. Has the company put the money up? Is the money there? It's at the bank. We put everything at the bank. We don't touch anything. The bank handles everything. That's why they charge us so much money. It's, you know, they're acting for us and they're acting for our clients. So they make sure the escrow is there. They make sure the premiums are paid. When they pass away, as I said, they make sure and send the death certificate in. And, of course, you know, it's been taking longer to get death certificates because of this virus. A lot of places weren't even open. Mm-hmm. So we had to figure out some new ways to get death certificates. So, anyway, they put the death certificate to the insurance company. The insurance company, then everything is in order when they send it. And then they send us the check to the bank, and then they put it in everybody's account. So we never touch the money. Once they've set up the account, we never touch it. The bank handles everything for them and for us.
It's a straightforward, well-mapped-out process. And so, you know, people really just have to invest and then wait for the policy to mature. That's really all it is. It's not about any kind of daily maintenance or anything like that. And so if it's a 24-month policy and it goes 24 months, that's about when they can expect the policy to mature and them to get paid. But what if it goes over?
If it goes over, then they have to pay the premiums. And it could be $1,000. It could be $500. And we try to keep them as low as possible. And every once in a while, we have older policies that do cost more. You know, those three old ones that we talk about every once in a while, we've just got three of those left, and then we'll be out of the woods. And never again. So anyway, most premiums are very easy to handle. They're not exorbitant. They're 3% or less usually. And so it's manageable. It's a small amount, and it will not really affect their earnings hardly at all.
You know, and that's really kind of a big deal because that's probably one of the biggest questions is those premiums. And you always say that's the biggest risk involved with this type of investment. And then, you know, you kind of look at the numbers and you're right. It looks like, even if, you know, the policy does go past that expected, 18, 24, 30 months, whatever it is, if it goes past and people do have to pay the premiums, it doesn't sound like it's all that much. And then there's, you look at the other two risks that are not quite as big as that one, and really it looks ideal. What's the second biggest risk?
The second biggest risk is it's not in cash. When you're invested, you cannot take the money out. You have to wait till it matures. And once it matures, you can take the money if you need it. Or most 90% of our money is IRAs. So if it's an IRA, they're going to just keep rolling it over. They don't want to take any money out of an IRA and pay the taxes.
Okay.
We don't want to pay taxes till we have to.
No.
Now, that's a bad deal. So most of them just roll it over every time. They're just waiting for the next policy to make more money. And as I said, they're making from, if it's a 16-month policy, 16%. If it's an 18-month, 18% or 24% if it's 2 years. So it's good money. The average is now 24%.
Wow.
On policy, that's their average.
That's pretty great.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. And then so people say, well, Faye, we're investing all this money. What if I invest and then a life insurance company goes under? What happens then?
Well, we have never had one go under in Texas. United States-wise, we haven't had one in a long time because they have so much premium income that somebody would buy them immediately. Several years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, there was a company that was not doing well. And it was bought before anybody even hardly knew about it. You know, nobody had any time to say, well, man, I'd like to bid on that company. It was bought overnight because of the premium income.
Yeah, it's just too big to ignore. And obviously, this is kind of a brief overview of the entire process. People should, come see you to get some more specific details for their situation, where they're at, where they want to be, when they want to be at that particular level of finances. So what about appointments for this coming week? Are you available this week? Are you into the following week?
Well, I'm going to be doing Zoom meetings with people. Remember, they must be accredited. They've got to have either $200,000 in income or they need to be worth $1 million without their home. Also, real quickly, of course, the annuities are fixing to just explode. Annuities are fixing to improve 1,000%. We've just got notice about all the new things on annuities. It's going to be fabulous. So anybody that doesn't qualify, or even if you do qualify, you can do an annuity. They're going to pay some really great rates, better than they have in years because of this virus deal. They're upping their game, and they're going to pay a lot more money. So that's another alternate for people.
Cool. And one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call you and make an appointment to get started?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.